This is Elodie Reed, digital producer for Vermont Public Radio. This podcast has been edited for brevity and clarity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. This morning, the Vermont Department of Labor released new weekly unemployment claims saying that 9,662 people successfully filed an initial unemployment claim this week. That's actually a decrease in the number of new claims over last week's numbers of new filers. But the total number of processed claims for the week is still rising. This morning, on an all-Senate call, Franklin County Republican Senator Randy Brock voiced his concern for his constituents trying to receive their unemployment benefits.
We have a serious problem, and saying that we're working on it and we're trying as hard as we can and we're looking for a contractor, that simply isn't good enough. And it seems to me we need a contingency plan to say, if this doesn't clear up within a defined period of time and hold the administration to the fire as to what that defined period of time will be, then we may need to do something different and something perhaps radical to solve the problem in the short run.
That was Senator Randy Brock talking with Senate colleagues this morning about some of the radical contingencies he thinks may be needed if Vermont can't sort out the backlog of unemployment claims it now faces. Senator Brock's concern is not unique. It's shared by the many Vermonters who've been having problems filing their claims online or over the phone. Here to help us understand the numbers, but also the significant and troubling delays in getting Vermonters their benefits, is Acting Commissioner of the Department of Labor, Michael Harrington. Commissioner Harrington, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit more about initial claims this week and how they fit into the context of the unemployment claims over the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Well, first, let me just say, hearing what Senator Brock said, I too and everybody who is working on this share the frustration and the just difficult complexity that comes with trying to administer such a massive amount of claims at a volume and level that we have never seen before. I too am frustrated that it is taking us so long to get payments out the door, and some of those restrictions come by way of technology and others by way of federal requirements. But in the end, none of that matters. What matters is getting people their benefit checks, as the underlying premise of unemployment insurance is to provide replacement of wages when someone has lost their job due to no fault of their own. And that's what we have here.
Yeah, and we're going to get pretty deep into that because those are where a lot of Vermonters are having questions and as you well know, frustration. But sort of understanding exactly what's happening and what the fixes might be are going to be important. But how many Vermonters are we talking about who are trying to get unemployment benefits right now?
So of all the claims that we have received and have processed, there really is not a processing backlog in terms of initial claims being opened. And so most of initial claims, as long as someone was determined to be eligible, have been processed.
But how many? I just give us the numbers.
There are many numbers. There's not just one.
Right.
I don't want to say it depends, but we are looking at probably the mid to high 60s in terms of 60,000 of people who have been determined to be eligible under some framework of the law, and probably roughly half of those. And again, we're taking a snapshot in time, even though this program continues to go day after day, right? So about 50% of those end up with some type of issue on their claim that prevents us from being able to pay them.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're working to correct. So you can say out of that, probably 35,000, maybe 30,000 people should be receiving benefits on a regular basis, but there's a large chunk of those, equally just as many people who are not getting benefits. And that's what we're trying to correct.
But wow, about 60,000 Vermonters, filing claims, trying to get benefits. And there, that represents the number of people who are trying to get benefits or who believe they're eligible, not necessarily the number of people who are struggling or out of work. That's a huge, huge percentage of the workplace to be out of work. the workforce?
It's absolutely phenomenal. I mean, to put it in context, prior to COVID-19, at any given time, we had 3,300 people on unemployment insurance.
Wow. I mean, so are we thinking now we probably are at about 30% unemployment?
I think we're probably closer to, we're somewhere between 20 and 30. Again, if you just take a snapshot in time, it's kind of hard to do that. People come on and off unemployment, you know, pretty frequently throughout the process. But even now we can, you know, as you mentioned, the number of initial claims has gone down, right? So originally we were seeing initial claims during the course of a week in the tens of thousands, you know, over the past 3 days, each day has been somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500. In one case, it was 1,900. So again, in the past 3 days, we've you know, done under 6,000 initial claims opening. So that number has certainly come down from that initial spike we saw. But those are all, that spike is what has put us in this position of saying, okay, now we've got these people who are trying to file weekly benefits. Some of them have been able to go through without any issue on their claims. Some of them have an issue that we need to figure out how to resolve.
Commissioner Harrington, we've heard a lot about claims and filing getting slowed down if someone has an issue. So what are the issues that slow down a claim?
Yeah, so one of the things that I'm happy to be on this show is I really want to focus on the facts, make sure I'm giving absolute straight answers to people when they call and have questions, and they know exactly where we are in this process. When we talk about someone having an issue on the claim, it could be everything from the fact that someone received severance pay when they left their employer, and that information conflicted with the information that was reported in their weekly filing. And so the incongruity in the information the system received created the system to stop the claim and say, this claim has an issue. It needs to be looked at by somebody. Another example is, and this is a common one we see, if I worked Monday and Tuesday and my employer then let me go or I left, under COVID-19, on Wednesday, I filed. When it came time for me to file my weekly benefit amount or my week filing, I said that I didn't work at all that week and I didn't receive any wages. And our system is smart enough to say, wait a minute, you told me you worked on Monday and Tuesday and that your first day of unemployment was Wednesday. And so, again, it's this conflicting information in the system that causes the system to put that claim aside and attach an issue to it that then needs to be resolved.
When somebody has an issue attached to their claim, do they have to do something? And how do they know if they need to do something or if they just need to wait?
So, for context, you know, the system was built 40 years ago on a COBOL mainframe system. You've probably seen them in your dentist's office, is the last time I ever saw one, which is it has the screen with a bunch of, you know, it's probably a black screen with different colored lettering on it. And you literally tab through the selections on the screen. Mm-hmm. You don't use a mouse, right? And you're using some rudimentary form of entering data for this mainframe system to compute. It doesn't have a lot of user functionality, right? So it's not self-service. It's really meant to be handled by someone on our end to manipulate the system and put the information in. And we've tried to attach different applications to that over the years to make it more user-friendly. But this dates back to a time when people would go into one of our regional offices, which were known as the unemployment office, and we have 12 around the state, and there was actually a person sitting at a desk that could work you through your claim and provide you direct person-to-person service. Very different time than we're in now. So what happens is if there's an issue on the claim, the system was also built in a time when there were no email addresses. And so there's actually literally no way in the system to capture an email address because those did not exist back then. So when we start talking about how do we typically someone might try to log into the claimant portal, this application we've attached to the system, and it would throw up an error and say, you need to call us. And unfortunately, prior to COVID-19, that was not an issue. You called the number, there was someone on the other line to answer your questions and your concerns. Now, all that did was push those, 30,000 people who have issues on their claims to our phone lines, and we were immediately overloaded.
Yeah, yeah. Well, is there anything else that all claimants should know before we get into people with very specific questions and issues?
Yeah, all claimants should know that, one, if they open a claim 1 week, they have to file their weekly claim the following week. So we've had a number of people who opened their claim but then never filed a weekly claim and then wondered why they weren't getting paid. So you have to open your claim the week you are separated from your employer. The following week, you can start filing weekly claims, and you have to do that each and every week. And essentially, you're attesting to the fact that over the past 7 days, you did not work and you did not earn wages, and that's how you're receiving your benefit. What happens in our system is if someone misses a filing week, it immediately stops their claim. That is unfortunately a way the system was hard-coded many years ago, and so it's been very hard for us to try to work around that. So it's just really important for people, if the system allows them to go in and file their claim on a weekly basis, they need to do that each and every week to receive regular benefits. And if they get an error message, that's where we're working on solutions that we can talk about, to some extent during this show as questions come up.
Yeah, good. I'd like to do that. But let's get to some of our callers who have questions for you, starting with Rob, who's with us from Montpelier. Hi, Rob. Go ahead.
I just had a question. Maybe you already answered it, but I didn't know you had to be a clear answer. How do you get notified if there's an issue? So you sign up, and I got an email that said, I'd be mailed the claimant handbook, which I haven't seen anything in the mail. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be an issue with a lot of people. So if there's an issue with your claim, how are you notified?
Great question. So a lot of people got the email that said they'd be mailed their claimant handbook. We then saw that we were trying to mail 70,000 or 80,000 claimant handbooks and just were not able to keep up with it. And so we have moved the claimant handbook online. In a couple of emails that we have sent subsequently, people should have received the link to the claimant handbook, but I'm happy to make sure we send out another one to make sure people know that it is online. It's prominent and easy to find under our unemployment insurance page. When you talk about the issues, the biggest way people know there's an issue on their claim currently in the system is that when they go to log into the claimant portal, it might say something like your PIN is not recognized or your social security number is not found. And it means that your claim has been taken out of the system and tagged with an issue. But it should say also when you do that, contact our claimant assistance line to help you. I know that that's a broken system, and I absolutely understand, and it is completely maddening to me that we are living with a system that doesn't have the ability to be easily changed and configured. So what we've been trying to do, because the system issues this automatic notice, is make sure that we are emailing everybody that filled out an electronic claim form when this first happened, and we were able to capture their email address. We are emailing those people with instructions if not every other day, then at least once a week, depending on what we're trying to communicate to them.
Let me play you another bite here, because as you say, this system is broken, and we're going to hear from people who say, I have not gotten any money in 3 or 4 weeks. So let me play you another clip from Franklin County Senator Randy Brock, who was speaking this morning and thinks that there needs to be a different approach.
It seems to me that right now, given where we are with constituents who are starving because they can't put food on the table, that we need a contingency plan ourselves to deal with that situation. I hate to say this as somebody who's really fiscally conservative, but maybe we need those yellow legal pads again to get the names of people with a different phone line and different even volunteers to collect the names of individuals, their addresses, their contact information, and where they last worked. and then perhaps issue them a $500 check. At some point, we will get to that because we will have people who can't eat.
You know, and people who have listened to Randy Brock campaign over the years, I mean, that is a remarkable statement from Senator Brock. Commissioner Harrington, if the system is broken, does the state need to do something different to get people enough money so they can feed themselves?
Jane, we are absolutely looking at every option. I do not feel like I'm in the position to speak for the entire administration. But I know that our legislators and the governor's office are talking regularly, and we as an administration are talking regularly about all the variety of options that exist. You know, the final solution will not be unemployment insurance in its entirety. Unemployment insurance is a part of the solution. But again, I think we're trying to find some really big moves that we can make, not incremental steps, but large steps that we can make in the next day or two to help lighten the burden that Vermonters are facing right now.
What does that look like exactly? Do you know yet? I mean, does that mean just send checks to people?
So it's not just political speak. There are concrete actions we're looking at. I don't want to get out in front of myself here, and because we are testing those and looking at what those might look like. And I don't want to give people false hope. So just know that we do have a number of different options we are looking at. They include both the unemployment insurance system, but other options and opportunities as well. And when we're ready to share that information publicly, when we know it works and it's a solution, the governor will make sure that the public knows about it.
Do you have a sense of the timeline on that? We know that the governor has a press conference on Fridays.
Yes. And I believe we will have some stuff that we can announce this Friday. And it may be also other things that occur over the coming days.
Let's go to Drea calling in from Burlington. Hi, Drea. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jane. Thanks so much for taking my call. I first of all want to say thank you so much to the people working at the Department of Labor, trying to help us all. They never anticipated this, and they're working with the antiquated system. So I just want to say thank you to all of you out there. I am one of the people that I applied for unemployment the 23rd. I'm a massage therapist. I lost my job at Spot the Essex, and I tried to file a claim. I got the email, and my Social Security wasn't recognized by the system. So I've basically been calling every day, can't get through. I'm grateful that they have put in some kind of system where we call by last name. That's at least something that I thought was a creative solution, which I know other places, my family lives in the South, and they're having just as hard of a time, and the system isn't trying to come up with many solutions or can't. So I'm grateful for that, but I'm going into 4 weeks. I was exposed a little bit early, potential exposure to COVID. So I've actually been home since March 14th.
I'm
just wondering, what do I do?
Drea, I appreciate your concern and your question. Let's get a couple in here, and then Commissioner Harrington, if you can address them. Michael is calling in from Woodbury. Hi, Michael. What's your situation?
I am a self-employed art therapist, working mostly in nursing homes and other elder care centers. And I lost my work pretty much right at the very beginning. It's been pretty much a month now. I tried, and then I heard that the federal government was allowing people who were self-employed to apply for unemployment. I tried calling the numbers here in Vermont and never got anywhere, but I was given another number through Bernie Sanders' office where I was actually able to connect with a person. And I thought we went through the claim, you know, first claim form. I was told then that something would be coming in the mail, some other forms, and then the process would begin for me. I haven't received anything in the mail. I don't have any idea whether that just got dropped through the cracks or what my situation might be. And I'm kind of wary of trying to call to find out just because of the bad experiences that I had trying to connect by phone previously.
Yeah, Michael, thanks. And Michael and Drea, I'm sorry that you're in this position, and it's difficult. And Drea especially saying, you know, I've been all these weeks. I've been home since early March, and I'm not getting any money. So, Commissioner Harrington, how would you address those questions?
Yeah. First off, let me just apologize. I am sorry that you are trying to get through and are not able to get the answers you need in the time you need them. There are a number of reasons why, but the reasons don't really matter. What matters is that you have not gotten answers to the questions you have or the benefits you need. For Drea and for Michael, I think one of the questions would be, it sounds like Michael is self-employed. I don't know whether Drea is as well. We are looking at what the federal government calls the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program. That guidance and information came out about 2 weeks ago, maybe 2.5 weeks ago. Every 2 days since then, the federal government has come out with more guidance by way of telling us exactly how the program needs to be administered. It's frustrating on our end because there are a lot of great benefits that the federal government is trying to get into the hands of people, but they come with a lot of strings attached and requirements that just literally cripple our system and slow the process down. And it is something that every state is being challenged with right now, is how do I meet the needs of my constituents and the people I serve, and also meet the expectations of the people who are giving us the benefits to hand out. And those two things do not always align. With regards to Drea and Michael, if it is a self-employed issue, this is probably the best time as ever for me to say, as early as yesterday, were looking to finalize two aspects of the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program. That will have meant we have stood up at least the phase one of this program in 2 weeks, roughly. And we should be able to, if you've filed electronically or if you've signed up for our newsletter, be able to email you with information on how to file your pandemic unemployment assistance benefit claim. And we should be able to send that information out. I'm really hesitant to give a definitive date like tomorrow, but I would love for us to be able to start sending that guidance out either Friday or Monday or even over the weekend. As soon as I know that the system has all the components and pieces in it that need to be there to administer the program. We've also set up an 800 line for pandemic unemployment assistance. This literally got created yesterday. It is not for someone. It is for someone to call and check on status and updates as to where we are in the process. It is not manned by a human being, but we are changing the recording every day or so, depending on the information. But we are looking to change that information every day, from 11 o'clock on. And so that number is 877-660-7782. 877-660-7782. If you call, you'll hear the nice voice of a lovely woman that works for us here at the department, who has been working here, 10 or so, 12 hours a day for the past 7 days, six, 7 days a week for the past month. And she was able to record that message, and there'll be a new recording each day as of 11 on where we're at with the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program.
We got a note from Nanette who says, I filed my initial claim and I didn't know that I needed to file every week. Do I need to start completely over?
You don't need to start completely over, but that would be one of those issues where, it stopped. And so one of the things we are looking at, and we have staff in our building sometimes till midnight, 2, 4 a.m., trying to manipulate this COBOL mainframe system and literally push it to the max, right? And so one of the pieces we're looking at is, how do we take some of these issues that originally were built in to require one-to-one contact between the claimant and a representative? And can we put in information, or can we flex the system so it bypasses the issue that was created to move people through this process? And so in the case of Annette, you know, she should call to try to resolve that claim. We also have people who are providing outgoing calls to claimants as quickly as possible, but just know that that's not good enough. And it would be a long, you know, it's just not a quick solution. And so we are also looking at how do we rejigger this system in ways that help expedite this process for large batches of people.
Commissioner Harrington, there has been word, and it's it was said in the press conference yesterday, the administration press conference, that the state is working on getting together with a third-party vendor to facilitate unemployment calls. But apparently in the Senate conference this morning, it appears that that's not ready yet. What can you tell us about what the solution is for people who are calling and calling and calling and not getting in?
So we're hitting it from both sides. So we are looking at a third-party vendor. As we all know, in trying to contract with vendors using state funds, there are procurement processes that need to be adhered to. In some cases, we also looked at what also ensures that it's allowable cost under FEMA funding. But we were able to secure a vendor, secure a contract, and start the process. And the two biggest things that have to happen right now are the technology to connect the call center to our mainframe system so those people can connect in and that there's a phone number that they can handle. And then the second piece of that is actually training their staff on how does UI law work, and how do I answer these questions, and how do I use the mainframe system? We think we can do that over the course of the next four or five days, the technology piece and the training of their staff. That's the one angle. And I agree with Senator Brock, that cannot be the only solution, and it's not going to be fast enough. So even just in the past few days, we've been training more and more staff to handle calls. So someone who may have been dealing with other things are now handling calls. In our call center that has GMP and Vermont Gas folks and Efficiency Vermont folks, at one point, those people were literally just taking calls to handle initial claims. And if someone came in with an issue or a problem, they couldn't help them. We've now trained up those people so that they can begin resolving those claims as well. And those people were trained up and ready to go by this morning. So again, that's an additional 25 people who are now able to resolve issues on claims that we didn't have before. And we're looking to say, okay, what other state personnel and resources are out there, and how do we onboard large numbers of people, get them access, get them trained, and then get them on the phone lines?
Yeah, this is all tricky, and everything is in flux in terms of timing. I want to redo one other comment here before we go to our next break. We got one from Lynn who says, the Department of Labor does not care, and that's the problem. They don't care that the state's restaurants, small businesses, and farmers markets have people desperate for funds. DOL doesn't care that hairdressers and massage therapists and retail stores have shuttered. Even the governor has ignored independent contractors from the beginning of this filing fiasco. I'm curious how this feels to you, Commissioner Harrington, and you're the acting commissioner. This is not a job that you have set, you signed up for and have been doing for a long time, and you get comments like that. And I think it's easy for people to feel like the state must not care about me because I am drowning and I'm not getting through on the phone lines. And on the flip side, what do you want people to know about how you do feel?
Yeah, I don't blame that person. And I'll take the hit on that one. I would argue that we do care. Everybody that is here in the department, we're not a federal agency residing in another state. Everybody here works and lives in Vermont. When they're dealing with claims, they're dealing with family members and friends. and people they know in their community, and teachers, and all sorts of people that they have personal relationships with. And I think the fact that many of the staff here are working 7 days a week, even when they don't have to, and it's not mandatory, many of them are working late hours, you know, shows how much they do care. But I do completely understand where that person is. And it probably does feel like people don't care because it's not happening fast enough. You are, you know, if all you're getting is a busy signal on the other end of that phone, I can't imagine a more impersonable way to deliver service and hurtful way. So from that perspective, that is the part we need to fix. We do care, and I know my staff does care, and we're in it here every day, and we will continue to be here until people get their benefits.
And we're joined now by Patricia Anderson, an economics professor at Dartmouth College. Professor Anderson, thanks for talking with us.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for having me.
So we've been talking, as you've been listening with Commissioner Harrington, that the Vermont numbers are somewhere between 20 and 30% unemployment right now, which is just staggering. We were among the lowest in the country in terms of our unemployment rate prior to COVID-19 issues. And then you look at the unemployment claims for the United States as a whole, and we're seeing, I think it's something like 22 million Americans filing, 5 million who filed in the past week. And then the statistics on national unemployment are a little fuzzy to me. It looks like some people saying perhaps 15 or 20% is the real number of unemployment. But Vermont numbers then either way seem pretty high compared to the national unemployment rate. How do you see Vermont fitting in?
I think it's actually a lot like the U.S. I mean, if you just do things the same way, so if you look at initial claims, the 22 million that you just mentioned for the U.S., if you do a similar thing for Vermont, it looks like about 46,000.
Mm. So it's, if you compare apples to apples?
Exactly. And I think the size of the labor force in Vermont is about 315,000. That would imply that if the only people that were unemployed is people that filed initial UI claims, which of course isn't true. Mm-hmm. But if we're just thinking about sort of the increase since the last, unemployment numbers were out, for Vermont, that's an increase of about 15 percentage points. Mm. For the U.S., if you look at that 22 million, there's about 165 million people in the U.S. labor force. That's about a 14 percentage point increase. The interesting thing about the official unemployment rate, which the March unemployment rate was 4.4, which is still super low. Mm-hmm. But that's because that unemployment rate gets collected in the week that includes the 12th, which is right before everything really exploded. Mm-hmm. And even then, that 0.9 that it went up that month was the biggest month-to-month increase since 1975.
Wow.
And the Department of Labor themselves admit that it's probably an underestimate because the surveyors had been told that if someone said they were at home because of coronavirus, they shouldn't be listed as with a job but not at it. They should be listed as unemployed on temporary layoff, mm-hmm. where the former would count as employed and the latter is unemployed. And they think that that's another 1%, which would mean we're at 5.4% for the week of the 12th nationally. And so I think that's up another basically 13%. You know, that's up to almost 19%.
Yeah, it's so important to point out or to recognize what Professor Anderson is telling us, that, you know, the unemployment figures, this is a lagging indicator because we're taking numbers, you know, the weekly claims are closer, but there's still people who filed last week. And so it's a little bit tricky. And then those monthly claims are you know, are quite a bit behind. So it's harder to see what's actually happening right now across the nation and in some cases around the state. Commissioner Harrington, do you think Vermont, you know, we talk about bending the curve in terms of virus transmission, but where do you think we are in the curve for Vermont unemployment claims? Are we're lower this past week than the previous week in terms of the number of initial claims? Do you think we've seen the peak and it will continue to go down, or is it going to be steady and high for the foreseeable future?
Well, we fully expect an additional spike as we onboard Vermont's self-employed and independent contractor population. So we are aware that that is coming when that occurs. I believe we're in line with many other states are facing, just on a different scale. And I would say that, you know, we may spike a little bit with the pandemic unemployment assistance program coming on. I think we'll eventually, as restrictions begin to loosen and people go back to work, we will drop and plateau at some level, and probably stay there for a bit, and then we'll drop even more. I do not see or suspect that in the foreseeable future we will get back to any type of pre-COVID-19 level.
Professor Anderson, the federal government has stepped in here in a really unique way in this particular crisis, you know, offering about $600 each more to people on their weekly claims than they'd be getting through their state normally, through the federal program, but through the state. How are you seeing the CARES Act and this ability to get more people more money in theory working out?
So in theory, it's quite good. For low-wage individuals, that $600 a week is actually probably, in a lot of states, going to get you above 100% replacement rate. The CARES Act also extended benefits for 13 weeks for everybody if you're still unemployed. And all of that is federally funded, so the state doesn't have to pay for that. So that's all good in theory. As you know, the commissioner was saying, it's been very difficult to get all the claims processed because even that first week that they popped up nationally to about 3 million, that was just off the charts compared to what has ever happened. And I think he hinted at that most states are working with very old systems, you know, programmed in COBOL on mainframes, that there's just not that many people that even know how to program in that language anymore. Mm-hmm. I think New Jersey like put out a desperate call for COBOL programmers to try to get their system, you know, updated. And so in theory, it's quite good. I worry a bit about the low wage essential workers that have to keep working and see maybe their neighbor, once they actually get their checks, you know, making more than they're making as a, you know, stock boy at the grocery store.
Talk more about how you see that, because, you know, this is a problem in some ways, because people should be able to, well, in theory, be able to make more money off unemployment, in the sense that they should be able to get their needs met. They shouldn't be starving. We're going to see more problems if we have people who can't get their basic needs met. However, if you have an unemployment system that right now is paying some people who are not working more than their weekly wages, and those who are working are finding themselves working under very challenging conditions and in some cases quite risky conditions, and they're not making any more than they were previously, that sets up a real problem and a conflict, doesn't it, among and between workers?
I would think so. And you know, if you are that stock boy, you can't just quit and say, I'm going to get unemployment, because you wouldn't be eligible if you quit. And so I think, you know, what we have to think about, I mean, it would be nice if the stores could do this themselves, but I think they're all stressed as well. But, you know, maybe the next round of, you know, big stimulus package needs to think about adding essentially hazard pay, not just to doctors and nurses, but to these low wage essential workers, to get them to at least where they would be if they were on unemployment, if not a little bit more, to compensate for the risk they're taking of getting COVID-19.
Hmm. Let's go to our calls here. Randy is with us from St. Johnsbury. Hi, Randy. Go right ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Well, thanks.
So I'm a small business owner in St. Johnsbury, and I have four employees, of which one filed for unemployment 4 weeks ago, and they just got their first check yesterday. And two others filed for unemployment the following week, and they weren't even able to get information into the system other than the initial filing until this morning. Is that typical what it's been running, or should they be concerned? And also, do they need to do something weekly while they're waiting over this whole period of time?
Randy, thanks for your concern for your employees. Commissioner Harrington?
Well, that's probably the first piece of good news that I've heard, that, what the efforts we're doing are getting people their checks. They are late. But even just hearing that someone got their check, or even the fact that someone who hadn't been able to get in was finally able to get in to the system, they do need to keep filing every week. And even if they're not receiving a check right away, file as many weeks as you can until the system tells you you can. But in that sense, it sounds like those were two instances where people probably had an issue on their claim. We have probably over 100 people working in various capacities across the department. And in some cases, we're trying to split that time between people who are answering phones and people who are resolving claim issues on the back end. If we can resolve claim issues, we will reduce the phone volume, because the reason people are calling is because of the issue. But we can cure more problems by working the issues on the back end than we can by taking the phone calls on the phone lines. So we're trying to balance that to give some people the opportunity to get through to a human being. I know not everybody can, but also having people working the back end where we can make up some ground as well. So in those cases, they should continue to file. If they're worried that if they're able to file, the system is working, and they should see themselves again. It sounds like there are some steps that have recently occurred to free up their claims. And so they should be seeing movement over the next couple of days. If they don't see the fruits of their labor in terms of filing their weekly claim, if that they're not seeing that in the form of payment, then they should reach back out to the department.
And let's go to Rob in Barrie. Hi, Rob. Go right ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. I'm calling because I'm one of the self-employed, and I went online to do the form. And when I started filling it out, I had to leave a lot of the form blank because of the questions or the information required. And so when I get my form back for unemployment, I understand it's only till a certain amount, my benefit amount. I wasn't able to put any amount in because being self-employed, my hours vary and the amounts vary. And so I had to leave a lot of blanks. So my weekly benefit amount up to this point is zero. Mm-hmm. And I guess what I'm wondering about is, let me read it. I was going to post on your site. I am self-employed and filed online to start a UI claim along with CARE. The form is hard to fill out without leaving a lot of blanks. Received a letter back from the state unemployment that my monetary determination amount is zero. So what do I do at this point to receive something?
Yeah, so what does Rob do, Commissioner Harrington? Yeah.
So, Rob, you've done the first step, and there's nothing wrong with you getting the monetary determination that says you are eligible for $0, because under what you have done is submit an application through the general UI system, which only factors in things that fall under the traditional UI, not the CARES Act. And so it telling you are not going to receive money is true under general UI. But what the good part is that now that you've submitted that application, if you submitted your name and your email address and your phone number, we now have contact information for you. So when the PUA program goes live over the next day or so, we can encourage you to come in and we will pour over most of that information, but there will be additional questions you need to answer.
Yeah, interesting to know, because these are changing for self-employed and independent contractors. Professor Anderson, I'm curious for you. This is something that you study, and here we are living a crisis in real time. What are the questions that you're going to be asking from a research point of view that you hope you'll be able to look at and answer over the coming weeks, months, and maybe even years?
I mean, I think a lot of the big question is, how fast is this going to turn around? You know, part of these records that we're talking about are just in how fast everything shut down. You know, in an ideal world, which I think the, you know, epidemiologists are telling us doesn't exist, but in that ideal world, everything goes back to normal, everyone goes back to their jobs, and it's a quick V. It'll be interesting to see just sort of how long a disaster like this perpetuates through the economy.
It certainly will, and interesting from a research perspective, and interesting to many of us, but also so personally affecting to so many people in Vermont and beyond right now, really a national and state crisis, but also a very personal crisis for so many people, as we've been hearing today. I appreciate all of you who were trying to get in, who had questions, who got some answered, and I really hope you get all of your questions answered in the next couple of weeks. Patricia Anderson is an economics professor at Dartmouth College. Thanks very much for talking with us.
Thanks for having me.
And Michael Harrington is the acting commissioner of Vermont's Department of Labor. Thanks very much, Commissioner.
Thank you, Jane.